The political spotlight shifts to China.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Chinese Communist Party convened its 18th Party Congress today, which will end with President Hu Jintao passing the baton to the country's next leader. And the handover comes at a crucial time for China's economy. Some expect the country will soon overtake the U.S. economically, and some think China is on the verge of economic collapse. Over the next 2 days, we'll hear from both sides. And today, our China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz has the view from the bulls.
The first lesson when talking to a China economist who's a bull, don't call him a bull.
I usually describe myself as a skeptical optimist.
Arthur Kroeber is managing director of the Beijing economics research firm GK Dragonomics.
There have always been people predicting collapse or doom or slowdown or some huge problem for the Chinese economy, and they've always been wrong.
That's Kroeber's skeptical side. Here's his optimist side.
The track record of the society kind of responding to challenges and overcoming them is very, very powerful.
The one thing China bears and bulls usually agree on is that China's economy is relying too much on infrastructure investment for growth and not enough on consumer-led growth. China bears say the country has gone past the point of no return. The economy is dangerously unbalanced and that China has never faced anything like this. Kroeber rolls his eyes at this notion.
30 years ago, this was a communist totalitarian country with a planned economy run from Beijing, and there was no private sector, and all prices were set by the government. And China orchestrated a transition out of that much more successfully than any other post-communist economy.
Kroeber thinks China will continue to defy expectations. Shanghai economist Andy Rothman, another bull, says China's already in a state of defiance. Investment is slowing. Consumption is gaining speed. He says China's economy is making the necessary adjustments to rebalance.
But the combination of the slightly slower growth in investment, the steady growth in consumption, means that every year for the foreseeable future, the Chinese economy is going to grow a little bit more slowly.
The bulls say that'll be necessary as leaders make financial reforms to move money from the state sector to the private sector. No small task. And the bulls' optimism usually hinges on whether China's new leaders will be able to do this. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Well, here in this country, the exit polls say President Obama won 60% or so of the youth vote in Tuesday's election. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports on whether those voters are likely to stick with the Democratic brand in the long run.
The conventional wisdom is vote the same way a couple of times and you'll vote that way for life. Peter Levine directs a youth research center at Tufts University.
Some of the loyalty might be to Barack Obama personally rather than to the party. But I will say that this generation has expressed liberal positions, relatively liberal positions, on both social and economic issues for 8 or 10 years now in a row.
And those views are likely to stick. Morley Winograd is co-author of 2 books on the millennial generation. Despite their fickle reputation, he says millennials are fiercely loyal to brands they trust. He says the only hope for the Republican Party is to rebrand itself.
As any number of firms in the marketplace can attest, it's really tough to displace the number one brand unless you recreate the marketplace and do something dramatically different.
Republicans can't afford to ignore this generation of voters. By the end of the decade, Winograd says millennials will make up more than one-third of adults. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down 1.5% in Tokyo, but higher right now across Europe, 0.5% higher in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 312 points, its biggest fall of the year, to close at 12,932.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Well, we all waste time in different ways at work, maybe on Twitter or Facebook, or perhaps a quick game of Angry Birds while the boss isn't looking. But columnist Lucy Kellaway at the Financial Times has been looking into some research that says time wasting like that can actually be beneficial. She joins us now from London. Good morning.
Good morning.
So are you telling me that all of the things that we do that we think we're wasting time doing are in fact not a waste of time?
Well, I've just been reading something written by a computer games expert called James McGonagall, and she has this theory that certain sorts of time wasting actually help us build resilience. So there may be hope for all of us who spend our lives playing Angry Birds and wasting time in that sort of way.
Wait, so you mean when I play Angry Birds or Temple Run or Tetris or whatever, that I'm in fact helping myself?
Yeah, it goes like this. One of the ways of building resilience is to make ourselves more emotionally sharp. She reckons that we need to have 3 bursts of positive emotional time wasting balanced by 1 of negative. So what you need to do is look at lots of cutesy pictures on the internet of sort of puppies and kittens and balance that with the aggression of doing some damage on Angry Birds. And that should leave you in just the right sort of state of emotion. Emotional balance to get on with your work.
Will you actually do work better if you do this?
Well, supposedly it's meant to make you more resilient. She also suggests all sorts of other things, which I must say I'm equally skeptical about. One of them is that you need to build your social resilience. And she suggests that when you shake hands with somebody, instead of just giving it a brief shake, you go on for 6 seconds. Hmm. Now, I suggest you try that. I did on a colleague and I said, does that, you know, make you feel more socially resilient? He said, no, it makes me feel like I've just been harassed.
And wasted 6 seconds, perhaps.
And wasted 6 seconds. Which none of us can afford to waste these days, let's face it.
Lucy Kellaway, columnist with the Financial Times, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Well, if you want to waste some time, go to the Marketplace Facebook page and tell us what your favorite at-work time-wasting activity is. And don't worry, we will not tell your boss. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.